Well, let's go ahead and get started. It's 10:05 already. We're going to be looking at eternal security of the believer, part 2. Last week, we dealt with the eternal security of the believer, part 1, all right, about the fact that once you are saved, you're always saved as a Christian. But today, we're going to deal with two very important thinking with regards to it from the Bible, okay? So, let's have a word of prayer first before we dive in, okay? Then after we have a memory verse, then after that, we'll start. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your life that you've given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that we can come into your presence today. We know, Lord, that there are people who are not able to come, not because they don't want to, because they are sick or something has happened. We pray, Father, that your peace, your comfort will be with them. We assure them, Lord, as believers, you are always with them. Father, I pray for the children of God to be in the house of God at this time. Even as they make their way, bring them quickly. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way. This is Isabella, as she's overseas, keep her safe and help her to learn much in the land of Israel. For us, help us to learn much from your precious word, which is able, Lord, to lead us to salvation and keep us in your love until the day you come. Speak to us, Lord, through your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, memory verse will be this, all right? Just jot it down, just in case. Okay, just jot it down. I won't agitate you, this is both. All right, it will be over. Next week is eternal security part 3, okay? So there are three different areas. Just jot down, okay? Then we will go on to the next one. Okay, these two are very important verses. Remember, your faith is not what I say, it's what the Bible says is most important, okay? Please jot it down so that there will be tests, okay, for those who just recently joined us. Yeah? Okay? Yeah? Okay. Just a quick review. What are two reasons why we can have eternal security? Anyone for last week can remember why can we have eternal security? Remember? Only two reasons, guys. Come on, there's only two reasons. Because of what Jesus did for us. Because of what Christ has done for us. Okay? Can you give me one verse that teaches us that? Hebrews. Okay, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, okay, with your Bible so that you can see what the Bible have to say. Hebrews chapter 10. Why we can have eternal security? Because of what Jesus has done for us. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, I will be just flashing the reference. I'd like you to turn to your Bible so that you get practice in handling your scriptures as well, okay? Hebrews 10, verse 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. It's in the New Testament, towards the end. Hebrews 10 and verse number 10. Okay. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, let's read together, ready? 1, 2, begin. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay, by the which will, by God's will, alright, by the which will refers to Christ, by God's will, we are sanctified, set apart. We are set apart. This is important truth. Just imagine the entire world who are without Christ, okay? But when we trust Christ, God actually takes us out of the world and puts us separate. As a peculiar group that belong to Him, Himself. Okay? Like all the babies in the world who are born, okay? I only have 4. They are set apart from my family. Okay? The Doriano family is similar, Clemente family is similar, Rati and his family. Rati can only... Benjamin, only Benjamin and Hank is his children. There are a lot of children in the world, right? But it's only two, they belong to him. So in the same way, when God saved us, because we were born again into the family of God, that's why we belong to Christ, okay? So we are set apart. The Bible says, through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, once for all. The Catholic Church believes that you need to get saved again and again, okay? By taking the Eucharist, which is the bread and the wine. That's in the Catholic Church. Right? Now, what Christ teaches us is that when He died, once and for all, He paid the price. Okay? In verse 14, look down, for by one offering, He had perfected forever them that are sanctified. One time. When Jesus died, those who truly put His faith in Him forever are perfected. The word perfected has the idea of made complete in Christ. Okay? What's the second reason? First, secondly, why we can have eternal security as a believer in Christ? Because of God's promises, because of the promises of God. And the Bible says God cannot lie. Alright? Okay, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? What does John 10:28 say? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Okay? What does 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 say? Let's turn there. Okay, this one I need to turn. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 18. Sorry, what am I saying? Verse number 8. Okay, not 18. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8. Sorry, I'm a little confused. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Christ will confirm us unto the end. Alright? Until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ refers to the second coming. Okay? So any questions? Okay? Do you know why we can stand on the promises of God? Whatever God says in the Bible is true, because the moment there's one untruth, God ceases to be God. He can't be God. You and I are wasting our time. Okay? But we can put our faith in our eternal security. Forever we're saved because of what God has done and what he has said. Okay? Alright, does eternal security... Okay, we're going to deal with two questions which is quite important. Does this doctrine of eternity mean that anyone who professes Christ has eternal life? Just because you say you're a Christian, say, oh, I'm saved forever, I have eternal life. Okay, I'm going to give you some reason. The answer is definitely a no. Okay? I'm a Filipino because I wear the barong and I look black. I'm a Filipino. Why are you laughing, Brother Gideon? I'm a Filipino because I wear the... Bro, I can speak Tagalog also. Like palabo, like halo halo. So am I a Filipino because just because I say so? The answer is... Profess Christ, they say they are Christians. They can say they are Christians. I shared before. There's a Beijing, a teacher from Beijing, a supposed teacher from Beijing, who actually came to Singapore. Did very well. 4 years, a lot of children did very well in the Chinese class of her. And then 4 months, 4 years later, they found out that she actually bought her certificate. I mean, she actually not a certified teacher. All right. After MON found out, they deported her, sent her back, and she's not coming in again. Just because you say you're a teacher with fake qualifications, once you're found out that you're a fraud, they kick you out. You know, the reason why this has to be taught is because there are too many people calling themselves Christians when there are other reasons why they become Christians or for whatever reasons. I'll give you some reasons why. The promise of eternal security is only for those who are genuinely saved, meaning they've genuinely repented from their sin, not because of anyone, not because of any church, not because of any other motivation except one thing: they realize they are sinners and on their way to hell. There's only one reason. Okay? And they place their faith 100% in Christ and no one else to save them. Now, I just want to clarify, when the Bible teaches that when you're repented from your sin, doesn't mean you'll be sinless after that. Because we can't. We live in a life of sin. But when you come to the realization, it's just like if my Chinese is very bad, okay, and you say, I finally realized, my Chinese is so bad, I need to do something about it. It affected my entire life, and I actually take a course, I make sure I change everything with regards to Chinese. That's repentance. It doesn't mean I immediately become totally proficient in Chinese, but it does mean that I'm doing lots of things to make sure my Chinese is improved. Does that make sense? All right? Of course, as God reveals sin in our life, then we have to deal with that. The promise of eternal security is only for those who are genuinely saved. Okay, only two persons in this world know that they are genuinely saved. You know who? God and yourself. You know the sad thing of God does definitely know all, but ourselves. The Bible does say the Holy Spirit witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But sometimes we can deceive ourselves. Okay? And hopefully from the Bible we can show very clear evidence about this thing about eternal security. Okay, number one, salvation demands repentance. Okay, these are four things that we must look out for so that we can have eternal security. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, let me just go through this verse. Okay, you can turn there in your Bible if you like. Thessalonian church was a wonderful church. Not a strong church, wrong. A very strong church, but not a church that actually had a lot of time with the Apostle Paul. Okay, if you read the account of the missionary travels of Paul, Paul only had 3 weeks with the Thessalonian church. Okay, the moment Paul went in, there was opposition. Okay, there was opposition, and Paul, within 3 weeks of teaching, he's got to get out because they're going to kill him. The Jews are going to kill him. Okay, but this was what happened when Paul went to the city of Thessalonica to build a church. Okay, he says, for they themselves, showing the Thessalonian Christians what manner of entering in we had among them. That means, when we were there, what kind of influence we had on their life. Okay, what kind of influence we had on their life, and how you, going to Thessalonians, first step, turn to God. Which means the first thing for a person who is genuinely saved is they turn to God, not for any other reasons except from away from the sin. They turn to God. That's the first step. Alright? And then they turn from idols. Their heart turn away from idols. In the past, I used to love this, but after a while, I find that I don't love this anymore. Okay? And it's a very, very important truth. First, they turn to God, and then they turn away from. For example, last time I shared many times before, I wanted to play for Spurs. Okay, those who know, Tottenham Hotspurs in English Premier League. I wanted to play for Spurs. You know Spurs? Yeah, okay, Spurs. But after I trusted Christ, that wasn't so important after that. I still kind of watching and. And in our family, my children like Premier League and all that kind of thing, and then they would talk about it. They like Chelsea, I think they like Chelsea or Man U or whatever. Say, no, Spurs is always the best. But you know what? I'm not going to die for them. I wanted to go to England to play for Spurs at the age of 14. It was a dream. It's still a dream. It's going to be a long dream. A dream that will never come true. But you know what? I had no heart for it. I still can talk about it, but it doesn't capture my heart anymore. And that's a very important truth for Christians, okay? For them, the Bible says, they turn to God away from idols, and their life is so clear. They are serving God. We'll talk more about that during the service, but they're serving God, okay? And the Bible says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And their lives is lived in waiting for the second coming of Christ, okay? Salvation demands repentance. And I was thinking through this and I realized many churches who just preach love and don't deal with repentance have a big percentage of people who will just talk about love but will not talk about turning away from sin. And that's the problem today. Because Jesus, the first thing he preached was repentance. John the Baptist, the first thing he preached was repentance. All the prophets, the first thing they think was repentance. You know, even the apostles, when they started preaching, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? Because you've got to turn away from sin. Okay? And that's a very, very important truth. I just illustrated, let's say, all right, there's this man who, before he got married, likes to play around with different ladies. Okay, let's say. Okay? But after he got married, what should he do? Should pull away all the ladies, right? He should need to repent and say, I'm not going to play around anymore. Because I'm going to devote my life to one, right? But what if we found out that he was still playing around? That means he hasn't repented. That means his heart is not genuine. Does that make sense? And that's a very important truth. Many people call themselves Christians, but not turn away from their sin. The Bible teaches clearly there must be repentance. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5. Jesus repeats 2 times. Except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Okay, I'm not playing down the love of God. It's because of the love of God we can get saved. But you know what? We need to make sure we don't miss the point. We need to turn away and then put faith in Christ. Okay, that's one. Salvation requires a new birth, and a new birth changes a man's life. Changes a man's life. The Bible says he must be born again. Okay? A few things about the new birth. Number one, it is a miraculous birth. A person that was not a Christian on day one, after he become a Christian day two, there are noticeable change, may not be big change, but the changes in the heart. Alright? Abrakla was sharing with us during the Philippine trip, when was Or one day he was a long hair hippie guy who hated the Bible, and he was, thank God there was one Christian who tried to win him to Christ, and all he did was spill up Bible verses, you know, to every question that Brother Cloud has. On the one day, Brother Cloud was sharing, on the one day, he hated the Bible, he was challenging the Bible, he don't bother the Bible, he was more into a New Age religion. But the moment he got saved, the next day, he was 100% a Bible believer. He was still having long hair, he was still doing all kinds, or rather, he still had his long hair, the outward appearance, but you know, his heart changed. He says, now he wanted the Bible, and the guy was so glad, the friend that led him to Christ, gave him the King James Bible, and he started studying ever since. It was a change. And he was sharing also, in the change in his life was, he always rebelled against his parents, but the first thing he did after he got saved was he stopped his hiking through America. He drove back home and apologized to his parents for rebelling against their authority. It's a dramatic transformation inside the heart. We may not see it outwardly, but you know something has changed inside of you. Something has changed. Okay? If a man can live as they did before they professed Christ, they have never been born again. I struggle with this because many people will say you don't judge people's salvation. The Bible is very clear. If you are born again, there will be a change, at least in your heart. At least in your heart and priorities. God becomes number one. Like for example, when I got married to my, or even before I got married to my wife, okay? Everyone else, all the other ladies have been put aside. Yeah, I'm tempted, but I'm very clear. Now that I'm married, there's no one else in my heart. I still talk to the other ladies and all that. But God is very clear about that. She's my wife. There's no one else. Does that make sense? But if after I got saved, I just still play around, then I've never put my focus on one person. Does that make sense? Okay? That's why Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father. But by point number three, those who are saved hear Christ's voice and will follow him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall I have them pluck them out of my hand. Okay, the Bible is very clear. I preached on this a few weeks ago about God's sheep following his voice. A few points. The sheep will hear the voice of the shepherd. That means that the sheep will respond. Remember the sheep video I showed you a few weeks ago? The one that really intrigued me was two of the three person tried to call them the sheep, but the sheep like, don't care, just keep eating. But the moment the shepherd called, suddenly the sheep was, who's that? You know, we will respond. We may not like to respond, we may not want to respond, but we will respond because we recognize their voice. Okay, and sheep will follow Christ, will eventually submit to Christ as his disciples. You can't run away from God because God loves you so much. You know, this is so evident even with children who rebel against their family members. Many years later, they always regret. I shared before, to me, for the benefit of the younger ones, there was one guy who was in drugs, okay? There was one young person during teenage years who was in drugs. He was caught, was thrown in prison. He faced hanging because of his drug-related offenses. And in prison, he became a Christian. One of the letters, you know, there's this compilation in Popular many years ago, they wrote about the confessions of those people in prison on death row. And, you know, this 27-year-old said, Mom, I'm sorry for breaking your heart. Dad, I'm sorry for breaking your heart, you know. You know, as a child of God, we know who our Heavenly Father is. Okay? We will submit to Christ's disciples, okay? And then the Bible says, I give unto them eternal life. Okay, that's the evidence. The connection is my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, referring to our conversion, that we are the sheep of God, will hear Christ's voice. And we will follow him. And because of that relationship, Christ gives to us eternal security. Okay? Point number four, saving faith always produces holy works. In Ephesians, saving faith always producing holy works. You know, in modern day Singapore, I just want to share this is very important. For the longest time in my Christian life, I've always seen people being nice as being Christian. People being nice as being Christian. Oh, they're patient, they're loving, they're helpful. Or you can be the best person on planet Earth, but you still go to hell. It's very different. I'm not saying, therefore, I don't have to be nice. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we have to be wise in seeing what is being a nice person, what is being a godly person. It's very important. Okay? Because saving faith will always produce holy works. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10, let's turn there, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10 to 10. If you have any questions, please ask, okay? It's very important to clarify. I'll answer you from the Bible, okay, which is where we get our answers from. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. This is a verse that I think we all know. Okay, for those who can memorize it by heart, go ahead. We'll just go ahead and read it. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay? A few notes from this verse. Number one, faith says, for by grace you are saved through faith. In verse 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Talk about salvation. But you know, in verse 10, okay, can you see the connection? For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is purely by grace, through faith. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve salvation. This part is by faith. I received the gift given to me. Okay? But then in verse 10, if you continue, the word for means because. Because we are his workmanship. The work, the phrase workmanship has the idea of iron craft. You know iron craft? How can you do iron craft? How good your iron craft depends on how patient a person is. You know the iron craft, the chicken or the dog or whatever you make, it's a result of the artistry of this person, right? The skill of the person. We are God's iron craft. We are the creation of God. God made us when we were born again. Okay, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do what? Unto good works. Faith saves us, but good works follow after that. There's an evidence of good works. Okay? There's an evidence that as a result of our faith, works will come out. Okay? These works are God's working in the believer as we serve him. It doesn't mean that, oh, because I do so much good works, therefore I should be proud. No, it's because of what God has done. As an example, let's say, who can't swim here? Who can't swim? Oh, quite a lot of people can't swim. Okay, over here, anyone can't swim? How can swim? Okay, maybe I think Jingyi, I just use an example. Let's say Jingyi was drowning. Catherine can swim, right? Okay, let's say because you're almost. So Catherine heard the screams of Jingyi for help. And then Catherine, because she's a Christian, so she keep all her clothing on, she jumped in to save Jingyi. Okay? Jingyi was like, oh, she was half dead already, you know, but because you got lifesaver, advanced, right, or something like that. No, just kidding. You pull Jingyi in the floor, and then she do CPR, and and Jingyi gets saved. Okay? What should Jingyi's response be? Thank you, I say, I disturb your time. Then Jingyi go home and go and celebrate Chinese New Year. Eh? No, I think for the rest of for her life, she will get boxes of oranges every Chinese New Year. Just to remember. What Catherine had done for Jingyi. That would be the proper response. Wouldn't that be true? That if someone had done such a great thing for you that you were drowning, you had no one to come and save you, but someone came, your response would be that great. And the things that you did, you wouldn't say that, every time I buy, after a while, say no, you won't, because the heart of thanksgiving is so great that we will want to. Even no matter how expensive it is, you will still buy because why you are grateful. We're talking about that in the service. But you know what? When God saved us, the attitude of a Christian is there's nothing that will hold my heart so much that I'm not willing to give up for God. Because I love Him. So He's quite His safe. Alright? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. Okay? 1 John. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Okay? 1 John chapter 3. It's a wonderful passage. You want to talk about the love of God? Here's a wonderful passage. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's read there first. Okay? I'll read you. Listen up. Behold, look what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, given, poured out on earth, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. John the apostle of love says, look, what kind of love is this that God in heaven would pour out his love on us, that we should be called, not only just pour out love on us, but call us the children of God. Okay? I was just watching a video of this man, boy by the name Ice Boy. Ice Boy. There's this boy living in China, very, very poor. Every day he walked 4.5 kilometers to school in the snow. There was one time he was known as Ice Boy because I think his hair got frozen along the way there or something like that. You know? And after they went on, then his family lived in extreme poverty. And after that, of course, a lot of China people, oh, you need to support, send shoes, send money, send clothing. And you know what father said in the interview with this, I think, kind of Natural Geographic, I think, or something like that. Is it? I think so. And he said, the gifts and donations didn't change much in my life. And they say, even this Chinese New Year, they're still eating baked potatoes that she grew by herself. And life remains the same. People pour out all the gifts, donations to this family who live in Kongming or something, I can't remember where. Really deserted. Last time there were 30 families, and now there's 7, the rest all moved out. And they cannot, wife left this husband of 2 kids and the old grandmother because he didn't have money to build a house, you know. And the father in the interview said, the donations, and I don't think he was ungrateful, I think it didn't make any change in our lives because we're still here. Everything has been the same for the last 20 years, and every Chinese New Year, all they say was sit around the fire and just eat baked potatoes because that's all they had. That's all they had. They eat 2 meals a day. But I say, imagine Brother Gideon found out about this. I say, I want to adopt that family. I'm putting under the Aglossos family. I want him to bring him to the Philippines. At least he gets some halo-halo once in a while, you know. But he gets to go to school. He gets to, you know, at least study and all that. Would that change that family's life? It changes the family's situation forever. Because someone was willing to adopt. Maybe the daughter say, how we shall more yao? How do you say adopt in Chinese? Huh? Ling yang. Which one how you ling yang? You know what's ling yang? No, no, adopt in Chinese. It's a Chinese point, sorry? Yeah. What does this Chinese boy say? Which one you ling yang one? Huh? But you know what? Even though this communication is broken, or it couldn't communicate, but the act of adoption would have endeared this family to Ragidir. Does that make sense? I may not understand the language. I can see what he did. That's what Jesus did for us. You may not understand all the Bible, but you know that he died for you. Does that make sense? You may not understand Hebrew, Greek, but you don't need to understand Hebrew. You don't understand all the Bible, you do understand that Jesus Christ died for us. Does that make sense? Okay? And that should endear us to Christ, that we are saying, alright? Okay, let's go on to what kind of love that God poured out to us. Then verse 2, beloved, now that are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In verse 3, and every man that hath his hope in him purify himself, even as he is. As we understand the works of God, love of God for us, we will want to do things that will reflect, will purify ourselves. Okay, after we touch on that again. Any questions? Saving faith always produces holy works. Okay? I want to talk about false professors for a while. And this was really, really, really convicting for me. I was just praying about it. In the Bible, there's this part called false professors, meaning that they say they are Christians, but actually they are not. Okay? They profess, read the verse, huh? Let's read together, ready? One, two, go. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Okay? God refers to this category of people. They are false professors. Okay? False professors claim that they are Christians. They will say they are Christians. That's why I say I'm a Filipino, because I wear the barong today. Is it called barong or barong? Barong. I wear the barong. This is a Filipino national dress. It's supposed to be the casual one, semi-casual. Then they have the official one. The official one is always a gold one. Yeah? The pineapple. Oh, the pineapple one. Okay? So they claim, I'm a Filipino. Okay? I claim I'm a Christian. False professors will claim they're Christians. But in works, the Bible says, but in works, the things they do and are evident to people, the things that they are doing, that people can see in works, they deny Him. In other words, in the Philippine culture, what is something that you absolutely hate? In food. You don't like the kind of food. Generally. Durian? Not really. Is there anything that you don't like? I say I'm a Filipino. Okay. Simple. Let's say I'm a Filipino. Then I will say, Kamusta kayo? Yeah, exactly. See, even you don't, see, I'm a Filipino, you're not. Until I meet a real Filipino and he respond. Then I say, bye-bye. I won't be able to continue the conversation because I say I'm a Filipino. I can claim to speak the Filipino basic like palabok and all that, kare-kare. But when I can't hold a conversation with them because I'm not Filipino. I don't speak the language. Or rather, I know the basic language, but by nature, I'm not a Filipino. There are some Filipinos who speak good Tagalog, but not so good in English because when they come here, they have to adjust and all that kind of thing. But when you converse with them in Filipino, and they are Filipino, they speak Tagalog, they speak fluently. Why? They are by nature Filipino. They've lived in the culture. They know they are Filipino. But you know what? As a Christian, a false prophet is someone, they say they're Christian, but their life, the things they do, deny Him. Deny Him. The next one, they actually do things that God hates. Like sin. They actually do and participate in things actively to oppose God. Because the Bible says in works they deny Him being abominable. The word abominable means that something that God hates. If someone takes drugs and thinks it's okay, they're not saved. If someone will drink hard liquor and say it's okay to kind of all that, they're not saved. They can't. They can't be. Because the Holy Spirit will convict them in their hearts. Okay? I know, and they are disobedient. You cannot persuade them to do right. You cannot persuade them because their heart is set. A Christian with the Holy Spirit prompting him will feel very uncomfortable when you hear the word of God. That's why the most miserable person on earth who is a Christian, who knows he's a Christian but wants to live for the world, wow, he's very miserable. But you know what? A false professor cannot be persuaded because they are disobedient. They're just disobedient. They just will not do right. And they tell you straight in the face, I'm not prepared to give up this. And they have no qualms about it. A false professor. And then the last part, the Bible says, and unto every good work, they are reprobate. The word reprobate means to be condemned. Now, in the direction of godliness and doing good, godliness, unto every good work, in the direction of godliness, their trend of life will just get worse and worse and worse. Okay? That's a false professor. Any questions? You know, as I was reading this verse, for Christians who are genuinely saved, God will strike struck your heart straight away. But I do know of Christians who do this. The one to have anything to do with Christ at all. There may be other reasons. But can I say this? What reason is there for me to leave my wife that will be legitimate in this world? I was with my God brother, and he was telling us how he went to Vietnam. Every year, he and his group of soccer players, he has. And what they did was they have a contact in Vietnam. And what they did was, every time this contact would try to, they would try to organize soccer games in Vietnam, okay, with the locals and all that kind of thing. But as part of their itinerary, they would actually try to visit children's homes or, you know, those destitute. And they would actually gather money, clothing, charity lah, all right? And they would bring, the last year they went to Vietnam also, but to a colony of HIV positive sufferers. Right? But this time they went to Vietnam. When we saw those pictures, these are children who were the offspring of people who suffered Agent Orange during the Vietnam War. When the Americans came in with Agent Orange, you know, the nerve gas, chemical warfare to try to destroy the crops. Fortunately, it got into the farmers and it got into the children, and the children had the most horrendous deformities. That is like, you look, it's like you were saying, there was a seven-year-old there. Like Ruth it would be about seven, right? Seven or eight, right? Ruth, you know, she's running around bouncing. This 7-year-old girl is about this cannot move, but she's absolutely alert. She knows what's happening. Okay? And her hand is like a tree trunk. It's just horrendous. There was one boy whose kneecap was face inward. The other way. Just horrendous. Okay? Would you spend your life taking care of this kind of children? You won't. Okay? But, you know, this lady is the church, I don't know whether the Baptist or whatever church, but this lady, totally no support, takes care of all these children, irregardless. And they depend on help like this to, I mean, my godmother will go there, they donated about 5,000 US to help them with some of the stuff and all that kind of thing. Now, they will donate. I lost my train of thought about why I put it out in the first place. I think the key thing about this is they can do things on and off, but you know what? Immediately after that, they just go straight back to their life. It's just a charity thing. Once off, and then they go back to their life. False professors are people who say, but their life don't back it up. Their life are not thinking. Even false professors can do one-off good stuff. But the genuine Christian has a life of godliness. That is a difference. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's move on, right? A man of God once said, if a person claims to have faith in Christ, but his life does not reflect his faith in Christ, he is deceived. Okay? A fruitless profession of faith cannot lay claim to God's promises of eternal security. If an individual professes Christ and then turns away, it is evidence that he was never saved in the first place. It's interesting that many Christians, after a while, they still go to church, but they never live for God. They don't do anything for God anymore. That's a sad thing. Okay? It's a very, very serious teaching from the Bible. Maybe that's the reason why Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will be found on it. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that will be found there. Jesus said it himself, because there are many people who follow Christ for different reasons. There's only one good reason to follow Christ, and that's because he died to save us from sin. And we cannot go back to sin and this world ever again after you are saved. Why? Not because we don't talk about the world anymore. Because, just like I talk about Spurs. I still talk about Spurs, but he has no hold over my heart. You know, if I ever get a chance to play for Spurs, I'll just give it up. Okay, I'll just give it up. Why? Because I'm a pastor now, that's a call. I'll be tempted to. Can I tell you a great temptation I had last year? My family knows this, I think no one knows this. I was offered a job that would pay me 10,000 US every month. just for 3 months. Just I can just pick from church, go there. It's 240,000 RMB for 3 months as a consultant. And I do nothing but tell them what to do. You know, in Singapore, you do consulting work. You got to do a lot of preparation, SOP. No need. Just go there because they got such a big budget. They didn't sit to spend. You know, say maybe next time. Say, oh, next time don't have ready. Only this year. Say, cannot. The church just move. You cannot do it. Yeah. Anyway, God called me to the full time. That's not my focus. We just dismiss that. Would you give up something to earn $10,000 a month for 3 months? Only 3 months are short term. Come on, so that you can go back to your life, right? Some people would do that. What am I saying? I'm not. Please don't think I'm. Just saying that we all face temptations. But the way we make our decisions will reflect our life in Christ. I'm not saying that we will not face temptation. I'm not saying that discourage us. I'm saying that the devil will throw these things at us, even a pastor. This is not the first time. There are other offers. But I'm clear my cause to be a pastor. I need to be here to share. I need to be here to teach. And so when you love Christ, nothing should hold you back from following Him. Okay? Let's move on a little bit. Does eternal security cause Christians to live carelessly? There are some people in this world say, oh, if you're a Christian, just believe and be saved, and then you can go to heaven. Of course, you can do what you want right after that. Does it really say so? Let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Let's turn there. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Just to finish that story on that temptation I had, later on my friend wrote, I said, well, let me check whether that's correct or not. Yeah, she came back and tell me, no, it's not 240, it's 160,000 yuan. But that is still about 8,000 to 9,000 RMB. It's still a lot. You know, yeah, there's temptation to grow. And people will call us foolish when we don't take that. But you know what? It's okay to be foolish for Christ. And you love Him. See? Alright. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Okay, 2 verse 11. The Bible says, let's read together, right? 11, 12, 13, 14. Really, 1, 2, go. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What does the grace of God teach us? Because the Bible says, the grace of God that brings us salvation appear to all men, teaching us. Why does it teach us? Number one, to deny ungodliness. A person who says that, oh, just because you are a Christian, you can save forever, you can do what you want, that is against the Bible. As a Christian, you cannot do what you want. Because the Bible says that God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. Why? We've been saved from that. Why are we going back to that again? Okay? You know only who does that? Dogs. Dogs. I've seen a dog eat cement. Would you eat cement? You know, after that, the whole tongue was grey. Dogs eat anything. The scavengers. Okay, of course, after they eat, they don't like, they move on. Right? They will just try. And the Bible says the dog will return to his own vomit. Deny ungodliness. What does God's grace teach us? To deny worldly lust. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Lust that draws us towards the world. We will deny it. What does that mean? It means that if I had a heart attack one time, and you give me a food that is full of salt and all that, I say, no way, man. I'm just fresh food and vegetables. That's good enough for me. You would deny that. Why? Because you knew that that was the saltish food is the one that gave you the heart attack in the first place. You're not doing that again. Denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we will live soberly. In our mind, we're very clear. Why are we clear about it? Jesus Christ is my Savior. He is my Master. The Word of God is my light and my guide. God, His Holy Spirit is my guide, my comforter, my peace. God's love, I need to share. God's love is in my heart. I'm very sober. Okay? I don't live carelessly. Okay? Living soberly, righteously, doing right all the time. You want to do right all the time? You live godly and godly in this present world. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is what salvation teaches us. That's why a Christian will say, I can do what I want. Either he don't understand salvation, or he has never been saved before, or he's never been taught. That's why you need to be a Bible-believing church to live how Christ wants us to live. And then, what does the grace of God teach us? To look for the rapture. Because this world is not our home, we're just a passing through. Okay? This world is not our home, we're just a passing through. The Bible says in verse number 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then, become a peculiar people who gave himself for us, they might redeem us from all iniquity and purify and to have a peculiar people. A peculiar people doesn't mean we are strange. Strange as in we not the kind of peculiar. Okay, some people think the word peculiar means a specially set apart group of people. How many of you have been watching? Some of you may watch the Winter Olympics, right? You know the North Korea sent, some of you may not. North Korea sent this special group of cheerleaders. They all dressed in red. They are so synchronized in all their, it's like, and they are going to leave the Winter Olympics, and South Korea are going to pay for their bill, $2.7 million, the hotel bill. It's so exorbitant. But you know what? They were nice, okay? But they are peculiar because everyone, the whole stadium will look at them, do this, stand, clap. And everything is so synchronized. Everything is like, maybe if you don't clap at this way, they'll point a gun at your head or something. I don't know. But they are so synchronized, and they are set apart to be cheerleaders for the North Korean contingent. Okay? And unless you're in there, I don't think you want to be in North Korea. Right? But unless you're in there and be part of their cheerleading squad, you will never know. They are so synchronized, such a set apart group. You know, as Christians, we are peculiar to God. Christians ought to be different from a non-Christian in our attitudes, in the way we talk, in our behaviors, the places we go to. Not because we want to be strange, because we love Jesus Christ. There are some places I will not go because of my wife. I won't go in a bar. I won't. Because I know you might offend her. Okay? And that's something as Christians we need to be very clear that God wants us to be a peculiar people that is zealous of good works. See the thing come out again. As a Christian, good works need to follow. Any questions? Your memory verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Christians, the doctrine, if you're genuinely saved, and I believe you are, for those who have trusted Christ as your Savior, eternal security is a blessed doctrine for every Christian. It is the helmet of salvation. For us, it protects us in times of discouragement, in times that we feel so lost, we can still say, Lord, I may be lost in this world. Thank you, I'm eternally secure in Christ. I may not know what I'm supposed to do, I just don't know what. Lord, thank you that I'm saved in Christ. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if a man being Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away, but all things have become new. The doctrine of eternal security can be the foundation for every Christian. Right? It should be. Brother Johnny, what about those who backslide and don't do right anymore? It's very tempting to say they're not saved. I dare not say that. Only the Holy Spirit can tell them. You know, as Christians, we need to be sure by living for Christ. There was one question in FBI that says, what if a person who is genuinely saved at that point, then after that he was genuinely saved, and then after that he backslide and go far, far away? The answer is, if the person is genuinely saved at that time and move far, far away, the question is, we can question whether the validity of that salvation, because salvation changes the heart. My children can run away as a drug addict to Alaska, but they still remember Chinese New Year, I got a mom and a dad. Okay? But you know, and I believe this is what God wants us to learn. Why focus on people who are backsliding? Why don't just give your whole heart to Christ and live for Him? You don't have that problem. Does it make sense? We won't have that problem of what if. You don't join a particular organization so that they will kick you out. Right? Or so that you will. What What if, of course, you may know some of the criteria on your, but you know, when you join an organization, you want to put your best foot forward, you want to do your best so that you can be promoted. So that you, why are we doing any less for the one who died for us and rose again? Why are we not putting in effort to love Jesus who gave everything in his life so that we can live? It is something that I hope Christians, we will shift our mindset to say, how close can I be to the world to how close can I be to Christ? If you're close to Christ, your eternal security is all yours because God promises that. But if you go close to the world, you may still be saved, but you'll be working a lot. You'll be working with a lot of doubts in your mind. You're going through a miserable Christian life. Can I encourage you to follow Christ all the way? You change your life, you change those people around you, and you know what, at the end of your life, you can't take your degrees and your bank account to heaven, but you can bring your loved ones to heaven. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I thank you for the doctrine of eternal security. Thank you that, Lord, once we've trusted you, Father, we have the assurance of eternal salvation. And eternal is eternal, Lord, just as it said. We're never going to lose what you've given to us. But Father, help us to also truly let the Holy Spirit convict us, Lord, of areas that we need to change as we speak to us. And sometimes, Lord, the changes might be tough because it requires life change. But help us to know, Lord, once you love us, you'll save us forever. Look at how we, what is our response to you? Makes all the difference in the world. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit teach us not just to rest in your grace, but to teach us, as Titus taught us in the Bible, to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we will live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.